What's up, guys? John here. When Donald Trump ran for office, one of the promises that he made was he would be implementing a 10% cap on credit card interest rates. And now it seems like he's moving in this direction.
The president has given them until the 20th of this month, and they have to cap their interest rates at 10%.
No way. We're putting a one-year cap at 10%. And that's it. They know it.
Now, some people are saying this is a great thing. Some are saying it's a bad thing. But I think what we look at is the facts. If we look at all of the facts, we'll see what is unfolding and not what the headlines are telling us, what is actually unfolding inside of America. Because we're going to see a completely different country in the next 6, 12, 24, 36, and 48 months as we start to move closer and closer to 2030, as a lot has been promised to us to happen at that time. One of the things is they're saying most Americans aren't going to own anything, right? And I think when we look at the numbers and we look at where we're headed, that is very likely going to be the case for most Americans. But if you're an entrepreneur, business owner, or just really hardworking and saving your money, you could invest your way and not be inside of that category. Now, in this video, I'm going to break it down and show you the facts and show you what I think is going to happen step by step and how we're likely going to be getting there. Trump announces a one-year 10% cap on credit card interest rates. Donald Trump announced a one-year cap that would limit credit card interest rates to 10% this week in a move that has prompted mixed reactions from lawmakers. Now, Bloomberg says that credit card firms violate laws if rates are not capped. But the reality is there's no traditional usury laws. Generally, they don't cap credit card interest rates because of federal preemption, allowing national banks to use their home state's laws. Now, even payday lenders, installment lenders, wherever their office is located in that state, they have to abide by the laws in that specific state. But when you're a big credit card company or a bank, you know, you're generally charging what you can charge. If you can get 20, 25%, 30% interest rates, what you're seeing now on retail credit cards, you're going to get it. And that's why these credit card companies do so well. But if big government steps in and says, no, that game is over, some people think this is going to mean that consumers are going to be able to, you know, get off scot-free. But when in the last 5 years has that happened? A lot of promises have been made since 2020 about how things are going to get better, inflation is going to go away, and that everything is going to go back to normal, and none of it actually ever happened. But in 2021, when you start to connect the dots, Bloomberg said that America should become a nation of renters. They kind of dropped that seed and kind of planted it, saying, like, this is what I actually think or what we think. And during that same period, they even had that video coming out that said that, you know, Americans aren't going to own homes. I did a video 4 years ago saying, really reacting to that article right when it came out, saying that America should become a nation of renters. But here's what I think is likely going to happen, the step-by-step reaction. So they say the 10% credit card interest rate cap would likely severely restrict credit access for millions. So if you're a big credit card company and your profits are getting cut from charging someone 22% or 28% interest to 10%, would you still lend the same amount of money? The answer is probably not if the credit worthiness of the borrower is deteriorating every 6 months, every year. It's getting worse and worse and worse for most, right? And so they say, especially with lower credit scores, forcing lenders to cut credit lines or deny new cards to manage risk, pushing some consumers to costly alternatives like payday lenders, while also potentially increasing fees and slowing consumer spending. Now, 37 to 41% of American adults use credit cards to cover essential monthly expenses like groceries, gas, and rent. So 37 to 41 people out of every 100 is using a credit card to just get by, right? And so if the government moves forward with a policy to cap interest rates, the question is, would that number stay from 37 to 41 people per 100, or would it go to 50 or 60 or 70? Right, it would likely continue to ramp up. More and more and more Americans would, you know, be in that need of assistance. But here's where we start to kind of connect everything. In 2019, the average home price in America was $258,000. This is before 2020 and everything that happened. $258,000. You know what that number is now? Some people might say $325,000, $350,000, $400,000. No, the average price today How much is the average home in America today? Average $510,000 to $513,000. While the median price is $410,000 to $435,000, with some sources showing a slight dip from recent peaks, right? So they're saying the median sale price is $435,000. The average sale price for new homes, $512,000. The average home, new home, was $383,000 back then. So you're talking a 20% increase on new homes and the average home price from $410,000 today to $258,000. So it's pretty crazy how far we've come over that small span of time. In 2019, the average rental was $1,149 to $1,470 per month. And today, they're saying $1,600 to $2,000 per month. Now, let's connect the dots here. Where are the most expensive places to live in America? New York, San Francisco, LA. What do all of these locations have in common? Well, builders generally don't want to build there. The laws are very favorable towards tenants. They have tenant protections that are unmatched in America. And because of that, there's a lot less inventory, a lot less supply. When there's less supply and there's higher prices, the government says, look, we need to combat this, so what can we do? Enact further and further and further policies to quote unquote protect the tenants from these high prices. As they do this, the government gets bigger, stronger, and they have a bigger grip on the American people inside of those cities. Now, if the rents have went up on a national level from $1,149 to $1,470, to now $1,600 to $2,000, and you're seeing inflation continue to ramp up and the cost of living continue to get more and more expensive, and they predict that by 2030, 40% of all single-family rental homes will be owned by corporations, you can imagine that rents are going to continue to go up. Before moving forward, a quick word from today's sponsor. On December 9th, 2025, a major scientific milestone quietly went live, and it barely made the news. Right now, there's a global race between North America and China to control the future of advanced science, AI, and materials innovation. At the center of that race is one massive problem: how long and how expensive the research has become. Developing a single drug can require up to 30,000 experiments, take over 10 years, and cost up to $900 million. Even elite chemists can only run a few experiments per week. That's where Telescope Innovations, ticker symbol TELIF, on the OTC in the US, comes in. The company has developed a self-driving laboratory that uses AI, robotics, sensors, and machine learning to run experiments continuously 24/7. Instead of months of lab work, this system can run a year's worth of experiments in a single week, constantly learning and optimizing itself. This isn't theoretical. A two-time Nobel Prize winner in chemistry is involved. The team has multiple prior exits in this industry. The company is already generating revenue, and 15 of the 20 largest pharmaceutical companies in the world are clients. That level of adoption is why investors see this as an interesting opportunity to study more closely. As always, do your own research, and for more information, you can click the link in the description. Now, back to today's video. This article came out a couple days ago, January 10th, saying as US debt soars past $38 trillion, the flood of corporate bonds is a growing threat to the treasury supply. So if the government's sitting on $38 trillion worth of debt, and they need inflation because inflation makes things much easier to pay back that debt, and they're saying that they need to cap credit card interest rates at 10%, and you have 37 to 41% of Americans using credit cards to get by for basic necessities every single day, and that credit line gets cut off, well, American consumers are going to need financial assistance, potentially, from the government. And the government could potentially then offer stimulus checks. Now, some would say, look, that's not going to happen. Look at LA, look at San Francisco, New York City. They're all running, presently, universal basic income pilot programs. And so in these markets, they're doing this. On a federal level, if they were to cut credit lines to Americans indirectly with a 10% credit card interest rate cap, what would likely be the next outcome, right? Likely turning on the money printers. Right, we could very well see that unfold. And so if this does happen, we're going to see a race to assets, no doubt. Like if you're a millionaire or you're, you know, a business owner, a decamillionaire, a centimillionaire, and you have savings, you're going to likely realize that those savings in the future will have less purchasing power than they do today. So it makes more sense to go out there and buy something hard and real, something that's going to produce income, something that's going to hold value. Now in 2019, 49% of used cars cost less than $20,000. 49%. Below July 6, 2025, the sub 20K used car is almost gone. Now in 2019, the average household income, $68,703. The average household income today is $83,000. So from $68,000 to $83,000, the difference is roughly $15,000. When you type in how much has inflation cost the average family compounded since 2019, $15,133 per year is the average family of four is paying an additional $15,000, right? So that $15,000 increase in wages went right out the window with health insurance, food, gas, cost of living. This does not take into consideration buying a car, buying a house, moving. Everything else is going up radically. So you just start to kind of connect the dots here. The future is going to be inflationary. Owning assets is going to be what is most important. Sitting in a lot of fiat currency, I believe over the next couple of years, will probably be a mistake. And I think we're going to start to see a lot more people going out there buying land, buying rental properties, trying to buy, you know, companies. They're going to buy precious metals. They're going to do whatever they have to do to try to get out of fiat, especially once it's confirmed that, you know, they're going to turn the money printers back on and stimulus checks are going to come. I'm not saying this is 100% going to happen, you know, next month or, you know, 6 months. I'm saying that we're moving in the direction where the government's going to need an excuse to issue inflation so they can, you know, get everything under grips. Because at the end of the day, it's about protecting the corporations. It's not about protecting the everyday American. What do you think about this situation? Do you think we're walking into a massive transfer of assets? And if we are, and let's say, for example, you know, most people right now are paycheck to paycheck. If that credit line gets cut off and the American, they don't have enough money or they don't have access to the liquidity to buy groceries, they're going to prioritize feeding themselves over feeding their mortgage lender. And so if they sell their property, who are they going to sell the property to? The highest ready, willing, and able home buyer. Generally, it's going to be a cash buyer. They can close quickly with no contingencies, likely a corporation or an investor. So a massive shift is underway. A major opportunity is underway for these entrepreneurs, business owners, and Americans that see the writing on the wall. You know, it's kind of a crazy time, but I think the opportunities are endless for those that want to seize it. Do you think we're walking into a 10% cap on credit cards? Do you think we're going to walk into a situation where we're going to see more stimulus checks? Or do you think the stimulus checks in 2020 was a one and done situation? I don't. When you start to look at the actual stimulus check and what it said in congress.gov, like the law in which they were writing up, it wasn't a one and done situation. They were talking years into the future. So I think this is where we're headed. I think owning assets that produce income will be a really great place to be. If the debt in which you have on these assets is fixed, the income and the spread above that debt cost is high, or you own them outright. Let's have a conversation about this below, and I'll catch you next video.